How inclusive is your workplace? This isn't just a question of moral imperative, but a business one too. The connection between inclusion and retention of top talent is now undeniable. If staff feel included, they'll be happier, have a greater sense of well-being, be more productive, and want to stick around. So how can you improve what's hard to accurately measure? Our feelings. I'm Georgie Frost, and this is the So What from BCG.
The most ambitious people, so the people who really want to have a promotion in the next year, are the ones who are even more likely to leave because they don't perceive inclusive work practices.
Today I'm talking to Nadia Youssef, BCG's Chief Diversity Officer.
Workplace inclusion is the involvement and empowerment of all your people. It's valuing them so that they can add value. As I say that out loud, I know it sounds fluffy, and my mission is to turn it into something concrete, to have us go from the strap lines to something a bit more scientific.
You knew exactly what I was going to say there. My face says it all when you were explaining what inclusion was. It is a lot of words, it is feelings, and it's nailing it down, I think, for businesses that is the difficult part. We will try and dig into that in more detail, but you said it there. What distinguishes it from the equality and diversity part in the EDI acronym? What's the difference? What is special about inclusion compared to those other things?
So diversity is the representation of different identities, different types of people with different backgrounds in an organization. Think of it as the numbers. Equity is around ensuring that your processes, your paths for recruitment, promotion, advancement are fair and are free from bias and allow for people from all different backgrounds to have a fair shot. So that's a little bit more around, again, facts. Inclusion is more about a feeling. It is about a culture of feeling of belonging, feeling like an insider, feeling like you're part of the family of that organization rather than an outsider or a visitor. And when you feel included, you bring your best self to work. When you feel included, you want to go to work. You want to go work for that organization. And whatever your background is, whatever your identities are, the inclusive work environment is what makes you thrive. So it's not about the numbers. It's not about the processes. It's about essentially your feelings and the culture that surrounds you.
Do you have any examples of companies that have managed to measure inclusion, found it wanting, and done something about it?
So we've done a survey ourselves, actually, of 27,000 people in 16 different countries across multiple different industries. So it was a study that was really looking at the feelings of well-being and happiness, what we would call inclusion, the drivers of that. So what were the factors in the workplace environment that actually mattered most to them to make them feel happy? And then I would say really most importantly and most excitingly about this piece of research, the connection between feeling included and then your willingness to stay in an organization or your likelihood to leave it. We have looked at this, and I've seen many organizations who want to look at this more scientifically. I think they haven't been equipped to. There hasn't been sort of the statistical modeling rigor attached to this so-called fluffy topic, but that now does exist. And I really encourage organizations to look at their own employee base. I mean, we have a tool to do that, but many organizations can take this matter into their own hands and say, what is it that's actually driving the feelings of happiness and well-being? And if we look historically and ahead, when people are asked the question around, are you likely to stay or leave, what does that tell us? And it's going to be very specific to a company's culture, whether that be geographic, whether that be a subdivision. So I would encourage all organizations to actually look at this on a de-average basis. And where I've seen organizations actually sort of take this seriously, firstly, there's usually a focus on diversity. So usually they're actually saying, we want to have more women, or we want to have more of a certain, you know, ethnic minority, or we want to really make a stand on neurodiversity, let's say. And then they pivot to realize that the way in which they can actually attract and retain any talent, no matter what the identity is by conveying, and not just conveying, but actually living the sort of values of respect, open communication, and senior leadership commitment. Those things are, you know, when we looked at our 27,000 people, the things that really do matter. It's what does the leadership at the top do and say and role model? How diverse of a team do they have at the top? Because that sends a signal. And then to what extent are direct line managers really equipped to create a safe environment? If you just take that managerial behavior as a influencing factors, that actually drives 2/3 mm-hmm. of the feelings of inclusion from the study that we did. So I think there are things that organizations can do pretty straightforwardly to move the needle on creating an environment of inclusion. And then, of course, there's more specific things that only an organization themselves are going to surface that matter to their specific people and their population.
I want to drill down more into making this more scientific. We've used the word fluffy, and I don't know whether it's cynicism. I don't know whether it's companies just thinking, how can you change what you can't accurately measure, or not having the right processes in mm-hmm. place. I do think companies take it seriously. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're not taking it seriously. And that's one of the reasons why we are where we are. But how can we make it more scientific?
I think there's two major aha moments that senior executives go through when it comes to really embracing DE&I as not just a motto, but really as part of their values, part of their leadership. And the first aha is that they themselves make a big difference to the culture of an organization. They set the tone. Even just by saying that they care about DE&I will attract a more diverse talent pool. The second aha is that inclusion and a focus on it is better for employee retention. There's data that proves that. So you can look either within your own organization, or you can look to what has been published out there in terms of the correlation. And we see that for organizations who have more inclusive practices and work environment, those things that I've already described, even if you just sort of, if you were to index what a organization's inclusion rating is, we call it a Bliss index. If you were to go 10 points above the median versus 10 points below, you will cut the attrition in half. That means that you will have double the amount of people who are staying in your organization just by focusing on this and moving the needle by just a little bit. We have evidence that suggests that organizations that do not have that feeling of inclusion, or when employees don't feel that their organization has inclusive work practices, that up to 1/3 of them will either choose not to work in that organization or are planning to leave it. So the difference between being an organization that focuses on it and an organization that doesn't focus on it is big in terms of the types of talent that you're going to be able to attract and retain. One other interesting thing that we've observed is that the most ambitious people, so the people who really want to have a promotion in the next year, are the ones who are even more likely to leave or to choose a different employer because they don't perceive inclusive work practices.
What does the ideal look like? And I want examples of, if I'm going into the workplace and I feel absolutely included in this workplace and I'm bringing my best self, what is going on around me to make me feel like that?
Well, I'll tell you, Georgie, a little bit about what will make you feel like that. Mm. And then also, what does that feel like? So I think, let me start with, what does it feel like to be feeling included? It means that you have well-being. It means that you're not covering parts of your identity that you don't want to. It means that you can focus on the things that you need to do your job, and not focus on wondering whether you're fitting in, not having to worry about, have I said the right thing or said the wrong thing because everybody looks or sounds or acts differently or has role modeled differently. When you have that mental load removed, you have much more opportunity to bring your full self to work. So that's what the feeling of inclusion, I would say, is defined as: well-being, happiness, ability to bring their full self to an organization. the environment that drives it, a lot of it is driven by what senior management role models and sets as commitments and tone. So very practically, when you have your top leadership of an organization talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion, talking about the need to have a work environment that is discrimination-free, that has consequences for bad behavior, and that really respects people's backgrounds no matter what they are, that already creates a huge amount of pressure removed from individuals in terms of them bringing their full selves to work. When you have direct line managers who are equipped to know how to create safe spaces, whether that be through 360 feedbacks, whether that be through creating moments of individual discussions to have people be able to share concerns or call out when they haven't felt excluded, that is really important as well. So direct line managers actually having, in a way, the toolkit to create a safe, psychologically safe working environment makes a big difference to then those feelings of well-being. And then there are some policy things which, you know, are a little bit more, I would say, table stakes, but we don't see all organizations having, which is consequences for disrespectful behavior, policies that are clearly taking a stance against discrimination, policies that create the tooling and the processes for anonymous feedback, for example.
You spoke about having safe spaces, the work environment being a psychologically safe place to be, and obviously consequences for disrespectful behavior or discriminatory behavior sort of speaks for itself. But the psychologically safe place to be sounds very hard to balance, to get right. Is there a danger that companies can perhaps go too far and create a chilling effect on their workers that are too frightened really to say anything? Because ultimately, as you said, this comes down to feelings. You don't want to hurt someone's feelings. You don't want to say things how they really are. How can you have a forward-thinking environment if people are frightened to say what they actually feel?
What we're talking about here is creating the right settings for the right types of conversations. So I think when you see organizations, and actually there's statistics that prove this. So, you know, research really suggests that when you have settings where people in a team are able to have anonymous feedback, but also have clear ongoing feedback for both their line manager, but also around the team that they're working in, that it creates a better ability to then course correct. So it's not about censoring everybody to the point where they don't, in a group setting, say anything because they're worried about saying the wrong thing. It's more about continuously observing and monitoring and allowing the conversations to happen. You know, we talk a lot about the concept of having authentic conversations in small group settings, which really make a difference to broaching topics, which might be, frankly, a little bit awkward to talk about in the workplace, but are relevant for a lot of people, whether that's, you know, transgender inclusion or around something that's happened in the world that's violence against women or violence against other minority groups. Those conversations can sometimes be seeming to be not something to talk about at work, but actually you can create moments and opportunities to have those discourses, which allow people to share where they're coming from, which is eye-opening, actually, for a lot of colleagues who might not have ever encountered somebody from that group or who has that element of identity. It can then feed into the broader feeling of, this is a place that I can talk and bring up other topics. It's about having those processes that allow for continuous feedback, but also probably set piece moments to talk about things that, again, might not seem work-related, but actually matter a lot to employees in this day and age.
So then how do you measure how inclusive you are, which doesn't involve just the number of people that are leaving too soon?
You have to ask, you have to engage, and this can be through regular pulse checks, a combination of focus groups and surveys, but you need to engage your workforce on understanding what it is that the organization is doing, which is making them have a sense of well-being, have a sense of ability to bring their full selves to work, then yes, you do need to measure, would they go to another organization if they had those things? You need to ask them, would you stay at this organization if we had these things? And there is a statistical set of statistical modeling that will accompany that data to then make a direct connection between things that you're doing or things that you're not doing as an organization and then those feelings. So it is measurable. There is a measurable way to connect interventions and then feelings of well-being, happiness. And then there is a way to statistically model and connect the feelings of inclusion, i.e. the feelings of well-being and happiness, and your likelihood to stay or go. And that's ultimately what we want. We want to be able to say that it matters because it keeps your best people. We also want to, of course, to be able to say that it matters because you get better outcomes. That is something that also, in a way, you could measure, and we've seen in some organizations, control studies able to do this, that when you have teams that are focusing on doing those interventions that matter, that they have higher productivity. This is much more difficult to look at on a large scale because the definition of productivity is so different from organization to organization. But, you know, if it's something that can be measured in that way, whether it's sales per hour for a sales team or it's customer satisfaction for a customer services team, those things are measurable. And actually, the more that we can encourage organizations to look at that and to focus on it, the more that I think everyone will buy in, whether they're coming from a quote-unquote diverse background or not, will buy into the concept that actually an inclusive work environment pays off.
I'm wondering, with the changing way that people are working nowadays, more hybrid working, working from home, whether that's muddied the water, made things a little bit more difficult for companies to get inclusion right.
I think I would say there's two angles to this. So one is, indeed, you have lost a little bit of the, let's say, opportunities to bring people together, to have the open conversations that we know create a safe space, and the opportunities for an organization to, in a way, convey to its workforce that it cares about a certain topic or it has a certain value set is more limited if you don't have people physically coming in, seeing what's on the billboard, seeing what's on, you know, seeing the rainbow lanyards, etc. However, it also is more of a burning platform than ever for organizations to think more creatively around how they show commitment, how they role model, how they get the message out through virtual teaming, through virtual communications. And so I think there is a silver lining in a way in terms of how organizations, let's say, corporate environment can be conveyed to in a hybrid work environment. The other thing, though, that I've been thinking about is that we're moving to a world where, because of the ability to work remotely more often, it will actually breed more workforce participation, I hope, from people who traditionally have been left out, whether that's caregivers who have different schedule requirements or people with physical disabilities who have found it difficult and challenging to come to an office at a certain prescribed time for a certain prescribed number of days per week. And the fact that we now would have, in a way, an ability to tap into a wider pool of talent means that there is an increased burning platform for organizations to do the things that will make them attractive. That means convey that you care about this stuff. That means think about the role modeling that you are doing in terms of your own, how diverse your leadership team is. That sounds like a big investment of time. It feels like then it's part of our overall strategy. Well, yes, it should be. Actually, diversity, equity, and inclusion should be part of every business's strategy. It's good for business. It's good for your people. And it will actually give you a competitive advantage.
Finally, is there anything else that you hear from clients on how to get this started?
The other thing I often hear is, what practical programs should we apply to our workforce that will already in the short term make a difference. And the number one thing that I would say is mentorship programs. So we've seen that this can be done for specific groups. It can be done for specific cohorts of an organization to start with. But really, that focus on creating individual connections where people can share experiences and also help somebody more junior navigate an organization has proven to increase feelings of inclusion by actually quite a large factor, and in particular for minority groups.
Nadia, thank you so much. And thank you for listening. We'd love to know your thoughts. To get in contact, leave us a message at thesowhat@bcg.com. And if you like this podcast, why not hit subscribe and leave a rating wherever you found us? It helps other people find us too.